Love this podcast? Consider supporting this show. You decide how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Visit the link in the episode description to support now.
From the minds that brought you the smash hit podcasts, Your Life the Mixtape, and Headliners comes Your Life the Mixtape Magazine, a free, monthly digital magazine that focuses on music, culture, and social commentary on current news and events. Visit www.yourlifethemixtape.com to subscribe today.
Hello there, I want to take a moment to talk to you about Dear Dean magazine from Dear Dean Publishing, my favorite subscription only monthly digital magazine. It's got subscriber-generated content about politics, pop culture, travel, family, pets, and poetry and wellness articles and features, contributor articles from nationally recognized journalists, writers, and artists, and provides opportunities for novice writers and authors and other contributors to share their voice, talents, and words. Did I mention that it's completely free? Dear Dean magazine provides free advert space for small creators, authors, and podcasters, fulfilling its vision that some art should always be free. It's owned and operated by Myron J. Clifton and is designed and distributed by Katya J. Lerner at Buzzword Consulting. Visit deardean.com/subscribe to get signed up.
You are now listening to Headliners, the show featuring the best and brightest in entertainment worldwide. Now here's your host, Greg Howard Jr.
Their new album, Up in Smoke, is out on the 22nd of March. Please welcome from Stone Angels, it's Nile. Hello, sir.
Hello. Good to be here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. So tell me, what can we expect from Up in Smoke?
We've got 9 hard rocking tracks coming at your ears. It's a bit of a very long labor of love for us, with some very unfortunate circumstances in the way, but thankfully we've all got through it, and it shows on the album how much work we've seriously put into this thing.
Brilliant. So tell me, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited about life are you right now?
I'm at a solid 9.5, especially with this album coming out. It has me super excited for what's to come, for the album to drop, for what's going to move forward with the band with it as well.
So what would you say has been the career highlight for Stone Angels thus far?
I would say I've got like a couple. First and foremost is we did shows with a really great band over here called Skindred, who have been over America a few times now. We were there at their personal request. I'd gotten to know the guys for a while, And literally one day out of the blue, their guitarist Mikey just messages me on Facebook going, hey man, how's it all going? Do you want to come play some shows with us? It was just like, you're kidding me, right? You know, you got to be joking about here. You know that English humor. They got to be mucking about. But no, thankfully they weren't mucking about and we got to do some shows with them. And they were absolutely incredible. Two sold out shows, one of them being our own hometown. So that's always great to do. You know, hometown show, local people, people we all know right there, friends, family, are just absolutely blowing the roof off each night. And I've got to say, the other show for us is over here, we have a very famous Pride weekend. And we're fortunate enough that last year, our guitarist James was asked to organize a rock show for the Pride weekend, just to really show the diversity of the music, because normally it's a lot of pop music, a lot of electronic music. So they approached James with this offer, like, would you like to do a rock show, you know, show what can be done for LGBTQ plus. And so we opened the very first year last year, and now they've offered it us to again for this year. And it looks like it's going to be a yearly thing for us to help organize, which is a really great thing for not only us, but for the community as well.
That's super cool. I like that. So we're in kind of this landscape where it feels like anybody with a smartphone and an internet connection can put out music. What do you feel like sets Stone Angels apart from everybody else?
Well, we all come from this background of like your classic rock from your 70s and 80s. But we also carry a lot of influences from a lot of more modern bands, a lot more grunge as well. And we, even though we do show it, we like to have that modern twist on our music that sort of like makes us stand out just that little bit for people to notice us and go, hang on a minute. You know, it catches their ear and go, oh, that's actually pretty damn good what they've got going on right there. I think I'm going to see what else they've got going on. And it's frankly worked for us quite well so far. And it will be working out when we drop the album in a couple of weeks.
So tell me, what is the process for the band when you're starting a new project?
Well, for us, when it comes to writing the album, a lot of the time we'll have maybe like a guitar riff. It normally starts with just the music. I know James, sometimes he likes to write lyrics a lot as well. He'll be like, hey, I've come up with this line, or I've come up with this riff, or I'll do the same. And we'll just be in the practice room and we'll just work on that until the song naturally forms. But on the really odd occasion, one of us will come in and be like, I've written a complete song, let's work through it now. And it can very much vary, but most of the time it's like, oh, I've written a riff, let's see what if we can do anything with it.
What would you say is the best career advice you've ever been given?
Weirdly, the best career advice I've ever been given isn't from someone that isn't really musical. It's I got given this advice by Kevin Smith, the actor. Oh, my. Because I like to go to a lot of conventions. I'm the nerdy one in the band. So I met Kevin Smith at one convention and I was just chatting to him about sort of like writing and all of this kind of thing. And the main thing he said to me was, do it for yourself. Don't write as if you're writing for the for someone else or with something else in mind. If you do it for yourself, it'll all carry itself forward and work itself out. And that's kind of the ethos I've kind of stuck with, and the other guys have adopted as well. And with the response we've been getting so far, yeah, it really has worked itself out.
Who's the dream collaboration for the band? Who would y'all love to work with?
For me personally, it would have to be my favorite band from Kentucky. That would be Blackstone Cherry. They're one of the bands I've seen the most amount of times. I've seen them in tiny venues over here when they first started, all the way through to the stadiums that they play now. And it's just one of those things, you know, they're great songwriters, great musicians, and I would just love to work with them at some point. It would be a dream come true.
Do you have a favorite time of day?
Normally, so like evening going into nighttime, I can be a bit of, you know, a night owl. I'll be there. Plus, I like it when it, because that's when all the hustle and bustle from the day calms down and it's just nice and quiet around here. Empty roads, you can just be clear head, clear mind. It's just a good time of day for me.
Tell me, what are the three things that you cannot live without?
Oh, that's always a fun one, that. obviously, most obviously, it would be one of my guitars, my main guitar, my Les Paul that I use for virtually everything. That's what I normally end up writing on as well. I would have to say my phone. I kind of live on that thing. It's very terrible of me to, it's a very bad habit for me to have, but I kind of live on that thing. I also record lots of ideas, lyric ideas, song ideas on there as well. So that's always good for me. Third thing, it's a very tough one. I'm going to go with something kind of glaringly obvious and silly, and that's my glasses, so I can actually see what the heck I'm doing most of the time.
That's fair. I'm so bad about like not having my glasses when I need them.
I have to wear them all the time. Obviously, I take them off at night to sleep, and I do take them off when we play. It kind of makes things easier because I always kind of suffer with some kind of stage nerves. So sort of like not quite being able to see what's there makes it a little bit easier for me. It's a ease of life kind of thing almost.
So knowing everything that you know now about, you know, the music industry and everything that goes along with it, if you could go back in time to the minute that you decided you were going to pursue music, would you do anything differently?
I don't think I would, because what I've done, what we've done now, I don't think it would take us in any different direction kind of thing, because we have learned quite a lot doing what we do. We've played every tiny dive bar and pub from, you know, from one end of the country to the other. And it's kind of taught us a lot as well, meeting people along the way, what we can do to better ourselves and what we can do to make the band better as well.
What do you think is the weirdest word in the English language?
Oh, I'll tell you what, I actually wrote this one down because I found an absolutely wonderful word. I'm just trying to find it now. Where is it? It's a phobia word. And I'm trying to pronounce it now. Cacorotheophobia. It's a very long word as well. And it's the fear of failure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's one of those fun words as well that, you know, it's a fear of something. Like, it's the fear of failure, but the word itself is very hard to pronounce. So if you've got that phobia, you've better be good at pronouncing that word as well.
That's an excellent answer. I love that. What would you say is at the top of the band's like professional bucket list? Like, what is the thing that y'all could do and then retire from music the next day?
I would say we'd love to play bigger and better places. Like if we got given the chance, even if it was just one night and we were opening it, I'd love to play somewhere like the Royal Albert Hall or Wembley, just so I can shout like, "Hello, Wembley," at the top of my lungs. And to be honest, I could die a happy man if I did something like that.
It's interesting to me that a lot of the rock artists I have on the show, Royal Albert Hall is somewhere that everybody, all the rock artists want to play. And it's cool to me because Royal Albert Hall is not necessarily what you would think of as like a rock venue.
It's an absolutely beautiful venue. It's one of those I've been there and seen a fair few artists in the varying degrees of the rock world there, such as like the band I mentioned earlier, Blackstone Cherry. I saw them there, and they actually recorded their last live DVD there. And then I've seen people like Bryan Adams and Def Leppard there as well. But it's just one of those venues where it's got perfect sound. Like you'll go to a venue and there's something not quite right, like something will sound muffled or the levels aren't right, or it's like too harsh for your ears. But in the Royal Albert Hall, every time I've been there, it just has perfect sound. Like I like to try and protect my hearing because I've been going to gigs since I was about 6 years old. And it doesn't feel like I need to wear earplugs because like all the levels are perfect. There's nothing harsh going on and everything just sounds right. And obviously, most of all, it's just a beautiful, beautiful building to just look around and be inside.
Is there an artist or a band whose career path is inspiring to you?
For me, it would be the artist that made me want to pick up a guitar at that time. And who I've seen many, many times. And that would be the band that's known as a British institution, and that is Status Quo. I have seen them so many times. That was my first gig when I was 6 years old with my dad and my brother. And we would see them year in and year out. And even though members have come and gone and members have sadly died, they're still going now. They're still producing music. They're still going out playing out to sold out crowds all over the UK, and it's something I can certainly get behind, just having a really big, serious work ethic like that.
So other than your own music, who are you listening to right now?
I because I was brought up on it, I listened to a lot of 70s and 80s rock and metal, that kind of thing. So just earlier, I just have random playlists that I'll stick on, and I've had things like Dio, Saxon, that kind of thing, Sabbath, AC/DC, all of that kind of thing. But I'll listen to newer bands as well. Like one band that I love to listen to that we've thankfully played a show with and made friends with along the way is a band called Massive Wagons over here. They're currently rising up big time because we played with them in a tiny capacity venue, and we've made friends along the way, and now I've seen them open up arenas and stadiums with much bigger bands, and they're doing headline shows that are a lot bigger than what we've played with them, and they're just incredibly lovely people as well to be around, always helpful, always thankful. And they're those kind of people that you're glad to be around. I've done shows with bands and that where you feel like you don't want to speak to them because they're a bit too up themselves, to be blunt about it. But no, these guys, they're the friendliest guys ever. As soon as you walk in the door, it's handshakes, hugs, how are you doing, how are things, how's the family. They're just beautiful, beautiful people to be with, as well as their music being incredibly good as well.
What's a book that you feel like everybody should read?
I would say something like The Dirt, the Motley Crue autobiography, or even so. To be a little bit more specific, the Heroin Diaries, which is Nikki Sixx's own personal thing, because it really shows an insight where even like I don't touch drugs in the slightest, and that kind of thing put me off for life even more. But it also shows you what kind of troubles they've gone through and come out the other end, still going at it, still performing, and still being the people that they are.
Are you a coffee person or a tea person?
I am British and proud, so it's tea for me.
Window or aisle seat?
So I'm one of these people that I'm really not fussed with either. Like, if I'm in an aisle, that's absolutely fine. That's a little bit of extra kind of leg room, a little bit. If I'm out the window, I can look out and see the scenery. That's perfectly fine. But either way, it doesn't matter to me. As long as I'm getting from A to B safely, it's absolutely fine.
Do you like a table or a booth?
I would say booth, just because it feels a lot more private and intimate. Whereas if you're at a table, you're very out in the open and exposed, and I can be a little bit socially awkward, so it doesn't feel that great for me on a personal level.
Do you consider yourself an artist or an entertainer?
It's a little bit of both, I think, because what we do, music is considered an art form. But when we're doing something like we're playing live, we're entertaining people with the art form. We're having a good time. They're all having a good time, and they're enjoying listening to the art form, having fun, jumping around, banging their heads, having a little mosh, and we all just, yeah. So I would say it's, a bit of both.
And follow up to that, do you think that to be a successful musician, you have to have a little bit of both?
Well, I think the term successful musician is quite a broad term as well. You could be playing the tiniest venues and still be classed as successful. But I still think, yeah, you would need a little bit of both. Because it's all well and good going to see a band and enjoying the art form of the music. But if they're not entertaining you, you don't enjoy it as much. That's how I've always felt, anyway, about it.
So let's say in like 10 years' time, I invited you back on the show. Where do you see Stone Angels?
I would say playing some bigger venues, doing some bigger support shows. Doing the festival runs, maybe even overseas as well, as well as obviously talking to you about what we've got coming up, most likely another album.
So tell the folks listening at home and all over the world where they can get their hands on Up in Smoke.
Up in Smoke is released on the 22nd of March. And you can get it direct from us at www.stone-angels.com. We're a big supporter of physical media, so when that release date comes around, it will only be for just the physical release. We will still be releasing singles and the and online and on Spotify and that kind of thing, but the album in its entirety won't be released digitally until a later date.
That's cool. I like that.
Yes, it's all part of our big plan.
I love it. And where can they find you on social media?
We're everywhere you can find us. We're on Facebook, Twitter or X, whatever Elon wants to call it this week, Instagram. We're everywhere, but mainly you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/StoneAngelsBand, because there are a few bands with the same name, unfortunately, of varying different styles to us.
Well, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your day to talk to me about you and the band and the music. I've enjoyed this a lot.
So have I. Thank you very much for having me.
We'll be back every Wednesday and Thursday with all new episodes of Headliners. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review.
Headliners is a Your Life the Mixtape Media LLC production in partnership with Rod Wharton Productions. All rights and trademarks reserved. No portion of this episode may be reproduced commercially without explicit consent.